Hi.
Hi.
This is Birds Make Birds.
You're listening to Freeform Radio.
91.5 FM.
WMFO, Medford.
Medford.
Stand up on so still. Love
this old from what I've heard, but my heart's learned to kill. Oh, mine has learned to kill. Come the tears, but like always, I let them go. Oh, just let them go. Oh. Now spikes will keep them falling from the heavens to the floor. Future was our skin, and now we don't dream anymore. No, we don't dream anymore. Oh. Made from spider webs and the clouds rolling in. You bet this mighty river's both my savior and my sin. Oh, my savior and my sin. Than land. Evil's in my pocket, and your strength is in my hand. Strength is in my hand. And I've thrown you in the current that I stand up on so still. Love is old from what I've heard, but my heart's learned to kill. Oh, mine has learned to kill.
It's 10 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO Medford 91.5 on your FM dial, touch-free farm radio. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown. On this Sunday, February the 26th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on there in your neck of the sporting world. The number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. Okay, 417 here on WMFO in Medford. I think the phones are working, but you can't prove it but me. I've called the station on my cell phone, and nothing happens. So, anyway, phone number is 855-915-WMFO. If you can get through, give me a call. That way I'll know that the phones are working. Anyway, let's get to sports scores. Ladies, college basketball yesterday, UConn women made it 102 in a row, I believe, with a 91-48 victory over Memphis. Baylor, 86. Texas Tech, 48. Washington, 84. Utah, 77. Oklahoma, 73. TCU, 64. And Temple, 88. Cincinnati, 64. In that UConn game, Collier got 19 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Williams got 8 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Samuelson got 29 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 blocks. Chong got 14 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 blocks. Lawler got no points, but 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Irwin got 4 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist. Butler got 9 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Bent didn't score, got 1 rebound. And Dangerfield got 8 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. UConn is still rolling. Like I said, if you heard me on previous programs, my chair arm is falling off here. on previous programs, I'm saying a team with good inside height, and a good, you know, fairly good outside shooting, I think can take UConn. But primarily because I say that because UConn plays 4 guards and a forward on their starting team. They have a center coming off the bench, and the rest of the players on the bench are all guards. They don't have a whole lot of height, but they play the game the way that it should be played. And so therefore, I guess, yeah, they're going to be the team to beat going into the playoffs, you know, barring any unforeseen incidents. I haven't seen any of the other teams have a shot at them, except for I saw a little bit of the, I saw a fairly good amount of the UConn women in South Carolina, and they hung with them for a little while, but they could not, they didn't shoot enough from the outside to make UConn soften up their defense, which took away their big person. I'm going to say their big man. Their big center on the inside. But they've got height, and they can run the floor. They just did not penetrate or hit the outside shot well in that game. They lost, I don't know, 12, 14 points, something like that. But some other team like that, you know, like I said, that's, you know, the height for the inside can dominate the boards, keep UConn to just one shot, and don't let them get second chances. They have a shot at knocking on. Not that I want to see UConn get knocked off, but I just see how far they can go, because they've got some, they've got a 6'7", a 6'7 center who's committed to playing for them next year. And Samuelson understands only a sophomore. I thought she was further along than that. But anyway, she's a sophomore leading scorer. I think Gabby is going to be gone. But they're going to be tough for years to come, providing this 6'7 center, you know, brings all that they think that she's going to be able to bring to the game. 421 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial, on the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, YouTube. You can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. On this Sunday, February the 26th, 2017. 2017 edition of the Sounds of Praise Ministry. I mean, the Brown Perspective on Sports. I'm getting ahead of myself. Sounds of Praise coming your way at 5 o'clock. That's what happens when you host two different programs, you know, around the same time, and it's early in the morning. But I just want to tell you, 43 degrees outside our studio. We're going to be bringing you that updated weather forecast sometime around 6:30 on the Sounds of Praise Ministry. So you stay tuned for that, so you know how to dress. We've been basking in record-breaking temperatures around here. Temperatures in the, I said, what, 73 2 days ago, 67 somewhere around there yesterday. So, you know, but it ain't going to be like that today or for the next few days from what I understand. But anyway, we're going to get you headed out in the right direction as soon as we get to that weather forecast. Okay, 422 here on WFO in Medford. We're going to take a little... Let's go to... Since we ran started a little late, let's go to men's basketball yesterday. College basketball. Upset right off the bat. BYU, who was unranked, defeated Gonzaga, who's ranked number one, 79-71. Gonzaga's undefeated streak has gone by the boards. Excuse me. And I said on previous programs, I thought that their schedule was sort of like, didn't live up to some of the games that other teams were playing. So I'm not surprised that they've gone down. And I didn't think that they were going to go too far into the March Madness either. But so, before they even got there, BYU knocked them off, 79-71. Villanova, 79. Creighton, 63. Kansas, 77. Texas, 67. Another upset. UCLA, ranked number 5, defeated Arizona, ranked number 4, 77-72. UCLA should climb up there quite a bit then. Oregon, 75. Stanford, 73. North Carolina, 85. Pitt, 67. Upset. Unranked Iowa State defeated Baylor, ranked number 9, 72-69. Another upset. Miami, who's unranked, defeated Duke, ranked number 10, 55-50. Kentucky, 76. Florida, 66. West Virginia, 61. TCU, 60. Upset. Michigan, who's unranked, defeated Purdue, ranked number 14, 82-70. SMU, 69, UConn, 61, Virginia, 70, North Carolina State, 55, Florida State, 76, Clemson, 74, St. Mary's, 70, Santa Clara, 56. Upset, Iowa, who's unranked, defeated Maryland, ranked number 24, 83-69, and Wichita State, 86, Missouri State, 67. And that's it in college basketball. 425 here on WNFO in Medford, a Brown Perspective on Sports. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Promise.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals. Because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
And this is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 432 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnie Brown, and another edition. All right, turn that music down. Another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Okay, if you just tuned in, you've already missed the college scores in basketball. So let's go to the NBA. Yesterday, Hornets 99 and the Kings 85. Magic 105 and the Hawks 86. Knicks 110 and the 76ers 109. Heat 113 and the Pacers 95. Mavericks 96 and the Pelicans 83. If you're interested, Anthony Davis got 39 points in that game, 14 rebounds. Boogie Cousins got 12 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals. But yet the Pelicans went down to their second loss since the big trade. Bulls 117 and the Cavs 99. Rockets 142 and the Timberwolves 130. And the Warriors 112 and the Nets 95. Another good game for the Celtics. What do you mean? Because the Nets are still losing, so we still have that pick going for us, which could be the number one pick in the draft. So we'll see where that goes. We're going to try to do some research to find out who the experts say could be the best 3, 4, 5 players coming out of the out of college this year. I've heard some talk about some how great some of the point guards are, but the Celtics don't need point guards. We have a surplus of point guards. Matter of fact, we have a great point guard, can't even get on the floor, Demetrius Jackson from Notre Dame, who's spending most of his time, I believe, in Maine. But anyway, we'll see who's out there and who the experts think will be the best big man. As you know, the Celtics are looking for a rim protector and somebody who can also score from inside, but he won't slow down the running game. Supposedly, there's a chance that Andrew Bogut, who went to Philadelphia in the Nerlens Noel trade, will be released, and he could be a short-term rental for the Celtics, and it would not impact their future negatively since they are under the cap. Who would they cut to get him on the roster? That's another story. Really don't know about that, but you know, we'll see what happens. Ben Simmons, I understand, is going to be out for the rest of the year for Philadelphia. That foot is not healing. They've had foot problems, feet problems, for quite a while. With Joel Embiid out I guess he had two surgeries, but now he's out with I think it's a contusion. It's not a knee surgery thing. And then Nerlens Noel, he was out with knee, I believe. And he's gone now, so we'll see what happens with him. Celtics lost their first game back. They didn't play last night. They lost their first game back in Toronto. A game that they were up by 17 points at one point. And Kyle Lowry was not playing. But the additions to the Toronto Raptors seemed to make the difference. They were banging the boards and getting second chance shots and everything else. And DeMar DeRozan was unstoppable. And so therefore, I don't know what the final score was, but the Toronto Raptors won fairly handily. 8-10 point victory over the Boston Celtics. So, we'll see. Avery Bradley did not play. Hopefully, he's going to be back soon. We don't want to rush him. You know, it's more important that he gets back and stays healthy, whether the Achilles, rather than going back out there and hurting it again. So, that's where that stands. But anyway, you know, we're looking forward to good things happening, hopefully. Good things will happen. And we'll make a decent run into the playoffs this year. That's the hope. 437 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. You can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'll be back. I promise.
At the football game, Jim shows the telltale signs of being wasted. He attempts to high-five everyone on the way to his section, spilling his $10 beer everywhere. Back in his seat, he screams, "Defense!" His friends remind him it's halftime. He takes off his shirt and starts flexing for the camera. He refers to his muscles as gunboats. Jim screams, "How's this for a halftime show?" He tells the story about the time he flexed for the halftime show. His friend informs him that it just happened. To redeem himself, he streaks the field. Jim makes it to midfield before being tackled. The Jumbotron captures it all.
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive, but what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
And also by Sounds of Praise Ministry and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:42 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Tom and host Donnie Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. Okay, National Hockey League, Kings 4 and the Ducks 1. The Rangers 4 and New Jersey 3. That game went into overtime. Predators 5 and the Capitals 2. The Blue Jackets 7 and the Islanders zip. The Canadiens 3 and the Maple Leafs 2. That was an overtime win for Claude Julien. The Penguins 4 and the Flyers 2. The Avalanche 5 and the Sabres 3. And the Sharks 4 and the Canucks 1. Everybody's going to be watching the Canadiens and the Bruins scores as the season goes on, as you know. The Bruins fired Claude Julien, and he got signed by Montreal, which was kind of weird because Montreal was ahead of the Bruins and still are. Montreal has 74 points right now, and the Bruins have 68. But that did not stop Montreal from, firing their coach and bringing Claude on board. Meanwhile, Bruce Cassidy, who took Claude Julien's place, got the Bruins off to a good start. They're 4-1, I believe, or maybe they're 5-1. I don't know, something like that, somewhere around there. I know they've only lost one, and they've won at least 4, maybe 5. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see if the Bruins can continue their hot pace. What I understand has been done is that Cassidy's opened up the game a lot more for the Bruins on the offensive end, and the defensemen are going up ice and getting involved in the offense a lot much more than in the Claude Julien style of play. And it'll be interesting to see, since the Canadiens are still ahead of the Bruins, if the Canadiens can maintain their pace. They got off to, I think they're 2-2 with Claude in control. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can continue and improve and hold on. And if the Bruins can catch them, or if the Bruins can catch up and get into the playoff. Right now the Bruins are not in the playoff. They are not involved in the wild card. Let me see. No, Columbus and the New York Islanders are ahead of them as far as the wild card is concerned. So, it'll be interesting to see whether Cassidy can continue to do his magic here with the Bruins and speed up their game and, like I said, get more offense and hopefully don't get caught back up there and put too much pressure on the goaltenders. But like I said, we'll see how far that new system goes, and if Cassidy is going to be the full-time coach after now that when the season's over. 4:45 is the Brown Perspective on Sports Time. I'm your host, Donnie Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, 1-855-915-WMFO is the number to call, 1-855-915-9636. Okay, let's go right ahead, right along, and see what we have next. Oh, okay, let's go to Major League Baseball. Now, it's my position here, since I run this show, that I don't pay too much attention to what goes on in the preseason games in any sport. It really doesn't matter. The coaches are trying to see what they've got, who's going to do what to whom, and who's going to play here, there, and everywhere. And so a lot of the, especially the early games, they're playing Northeastern, rather. And I guess they're going to play Boston College a little bit later on. And you can't pick up too much from those games, And also they have guys who are going to be in the lineup and pitching who are definitely not going to make the team this year. And so there again, you can't pick up too much. Unless somebody that you never heard of starts banging the ball all over the park, and then you got to consider, is this guy going to be able to make the team or not? But anyway, it's early. Only the, third game, they played Northeastern, they lost to the Mets, and yesterday they beat the Twins 8-7. So, and I have no box score, so I don't know who did what in that game. But Matter of fact, I don't even know who started that game for the Red Sox. But anyway, the major guys in the rotation have not pitched as yet. But one good sign is that the three guys battling for the fourth and fifth spots are supposedly healthy. Drew Pomerantz, Stephen Wright, and Eduardo Rodriguez. Supposedly, throwing without any problems after suffering injuries either during last year or in the off season. So we'll see what happens. The bullpen, as I said in the previous program, I think it's going to be really good. The whole question mark is, can anyone or any group of individuals improve enough in the regular starting lineup to take the place of David Ortiz, who had an enormous final season. And I hope he's enjoying his retirement. Allegedly, he's going to have some kind of position with the Red Sox. Not on a day-to-day basis, but some interim work he's going to be doing with them and with the players, I imagine. And I guess another question mark is, how well is Pablo Sandoval, the new trimmed-down Pablo Sandoval, going to do in the starting lineup for the Red Sox? Can he bring it? Can he get back to where he was when the Red Sox signed him from the San Francisco Giants? What's that? This is going to be the third year now? Yeah. First year was a disaster. Second year was injury. Third year, we shall see. He's lost the weight, so whether he gets it back. And someone was saying maybe a major problem could be his swing because of the shoulder surgery he had. So we'll see how that works out. Right now, I guess Brock Holt is probably the main contender for taking over that position. But then if he does that, then we lose him from being able to, fill in virtually every other place on the ball club except pitcher and catcher, I guess. But anyway, we'll see what goes down as far as the Red Sox are concerned this year. I think I saw a poll that picked them to win the Eastern Division over Toronto, Baltimore, excuse me, over Toronto, Baltimore, and New York. And some people are saying that New York could sneak up into second place and be the main contender with the Red Sox, since Toronto has lost Edwin Encarnacion and Joey Bautista had an off year last year, and no one wanted him, so he had to resign with Toronto, even though he was a free agent out there. Toronto has a fairly good pitching staff as well. And then Baltimore, they didn't add much, and they lost Matt Wieters, so we don't know how they're going to perform. 4:51 is the WMFO Medford 91.5 FM time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, February 26, 2017 edition of the Sound of a Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call, 855-1855-915-WMFO1, 855-915-9636. Don't ask me why I can't get this phone to ring on my cell phone. I have no clue. Okay, I'll be back. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk Patriots, NFL, before we go off the air. We'll be right back.
fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. And they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma, because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave bugs and mice so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
And also by Sounds of Praise Ministry and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:54 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. My host, Donnelly Brown, we're talking sports here. Just about getting ready to wrap up the show. We're going to go to the New England Patriots. Where else? We still haven't come down from our high over the Patriots Super Bowl victory in Super Bowl 51. And we're not even going to go into the Roger Goodell situation. We're just glad that our boys pulled out a thrilling come-from-behind victory. And we're still celebrating. Had some of the friends and family over for the house yesterday. And had a nice meal and talked sports and enjoyed some good fellowship as well. Okay, Patriots. I guess the big question right now, I would say, from my perspective, is Jimmy Garoppolo. What do we do with Jimmy Garoppolo? And my perspective is that we wait and see what Dallas is going to do with Tony Romo. I'm thinking, if I am a GM of a team desperately in need of a quarterback, I guess I would either consider Garoppolo because of his youth, but yet inexperienced as far as number of games actually played. But what he did in the games that were played was what's, I guess, so special. And then there's Tony Romo, who has the history. But he also has he has the background to be a starter right off the bat, no matter who picks him up. But the question is Dallas going to let him go? And then the fact is, would you rather have a young Garoppolo to build on, or would you rather have a Tony Romo who probably, like I said, could step right in be an improvement over whomever? Now, the teams that are supposedly the most interested are the Cleveland Browns, the Chicago Bears, and the San Francisco 49ers. Houston may also be very interested, but I doubt that we're going to trade him to Houston unless they blow us away with some kind of huge package. But I think once the Romo situation gets cleared up, then the other GM, remaining GMs will determine. And there's also the possibility that with all the money they have down there in Dallas, that they still continue to keep Romo and Zach Prescott, saying, hey, listen, Prescott had a fantastic year, but we didn't win it all. We came close. Let's have some competition in preseason, and we'll see who wins. And maybe with Prescott still be on a rookie contract, he's not going to break the bank. And roles might be reversed, and he becomes the backup because Romo wins it in the preseason. So we're going to have to wait and see what Jerry Jones is going to do. Like I said, that will clear the air. But I think that once that is taken care of, once that's decided, and that will, because even if they decide to keep Romo, that will make Garoppolo's value go even higher. And someone was saying, well, we won't get a first round pick for him. Why not? I don't see any reason why we can't get a first round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo, and perhaps even more. And if it's the Cleveland Browns, the number one pick in the draft, as someone at my little party yesterday said, Friday said, that, you know, Belichick is known for trading down, even when he has the higher pick, and he could probably trade down with that first round pick and get three or four other players, perhaps even not this year, spread it out over a few years. And the Patriots will certainly make up for the loss of picks that Goodell ridiculously took away from us in the so-called Deflategate situation. Okay, so it's going to be interesting to see, as a Patriots fan, where we go. Another good bit of news, if you're a Patriots fan, is that Rob Gronkowski was asked what he thought his status would be. He said, he planned to be back for the start of the season. Hey, that means, hey, and if anybody knows about backs, I guess he should, because he's had three or four back injuries and other injuries as well. So I guess he'll know what the healing process is. And it will be interesting to see whether Martellus Bennett, who's going to play the free agent market and see what he gets out there, whether he comes back or not. Okay, time to put the wraps on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Be back next Sunday at 4 a.m.